2 Timothy 3:15-17. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the second reading is in Hebrews. We are in Hebrews 3:7-9. Hebrews 3:7-9. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That's not the last verse? Yeah, it is. Sorry, I'll stop there. I'm sorry. Oh, no.
All will be explained, fear not. We've prayed already, so let's get stuck straight in. I'm in a room full of Christians, by and large. There may well be some here who are still working these things out, but I guess most of us here would call ourselves followers of God. And one of the things that marks you as a Christian is a longing to hear God speak. Christianity is a relationship with God, not a set of rituals, but a relationship. And it's impossible to relate unless God speaks. And the truth is, I guess those of us who would call ourselves Christians, we know how differently we would live if God spoke directly to us. I mean, how much harder would I fight sin if God said, Phil, I hate your selfishness? I would take that pretty seriously. Well, how much more confidently would you share the gospel if God said, go and talk to Trevor and tell him about Jesus?
Okay, God.
And if we're honest, many of us live with a nagging disappointment that God seems, well, silent. And it stifles our zeal and our joy. We long that he would speak audibly. But I want to assure us that Francis Schaeffer was right when he said, 50-odd years ago, God is there and he is not silent. God is there and he is not silent. And when you look through the Bible, you see that God speaks in an enormous variety of ways. Through creation, the beauty of snowflakes and the grandeur of mountains, according to Psalm 19. He speaks through dreams in Daniel. He speaks through Ezekiel's visions. It's like he's tripping on LSD, to be honest, when you read it. I mean, he speaks through crazy visions in Ezekiel. He speaks through direct revelation where he gives his word to the prophets so they proclaim this is the word of the Lord. Sometimes he even gives his word to false prophets, like Balaam or the high priest in Jesus' days. And weirdest of all, he speaks through a donkey. It's not just in Shrek that you find a talking donkey. You can watch it for its theological nuance now. So where do you turn if you want to hear the voice of God? Do you head to the nearest donkey sanctuary? There's one quite near here. Is that where we should go this afternoon because we want to hear God's voice? How does the Holy Spirit speak today? That's the question I want to address. If we're Christians, then we are people of the book, and so the Bible is our authority. So we should turn to the Bible to work out the answer to that question. Before we dive in, if you've got loads of questions at the end, I'm going to grab a table at lunch, and if you want to come and fire questions, come join me on that table, and I'd love to thrash things through over lunch. But here you go. Firstly, the Holy Spirit speaks the words of the Bible. That's not a typo, the through. So Hebrews 3:7-9, that slightly quirky reading that stopped rather abruptly. Hebrews 3. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. Now these verses actually are some of the most important verses for my Christian life, bizarrely. I guess I'd always believed God spoke through the Bible. I'd understood that. We all know that experience of sitting there in church, and it's as if the words of a sermon, I'm just being pinioned to the seat by God. Or in a Bible study, when the issues of my life are just being absolutely unfolded by God's word. But this is different. We don't see God speaking through Scripture here. We see, verse 7, God speaks Scripture. Verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, and then he quotes Psalm 95, written 1,000 years before. Elsewhere in chapter 3 of Hebrews, we'll see he says, this is what David wrote, this is what God said, but here it's what the Holy Spirit says. The contemporary relevant voice of the Spirit addressing the church today is a passage of Scripture written 1,000 years before. That is extraordinary when you think about it. A word written in a different time, to a different culture, in a different language, in translation, is God's Spirit speaking directly to the people in the book of Hebrews. And it's not as if something has to happen to the words for the Spirit to use them. It's not the Holy Spirit makes these words his own, or the Holy Spirit brings these words to life. No, the Holy Spirit says these words. Now, of course, they apply differently to us than the original audience. Romans 15:4 has that wonderful phrase, it was written to them for us. So we've got to understand it carefully. But as we read the words of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is addressing you personally. If you like, as you read the Bible, you feel the breath of God on your face. It's not the Holy Spirit who brings the words of the Bible to life. By the Holy Spirit, the words of the Bible bring us to life. We've been born again through the living Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. But I've got to be honest at this point, the first time somebody really explained that to me, that if I wanted to hear the Holy Spirit speak, I needed to pick up this book and stop looking for voices in my head. I think my response was, honestly, this feels like I'm being asked to trade in something dynamic, exciting and personal for something dull and distant and academic. That's what it felt like. I mean, who wants dusty words on a page written generically for millions of people when you can have the personal voice of God speaking to me directly? Why would you? But these words are the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you personally and directly. When someone says, we're now going to have a time for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you ought to pick up your Bible in church. Actually, or get ready to do the washing up, or go and collect one of the old people who can't get out of house, or help with the admin, or a whole heap of other things. But it's terrible when people say it's time for a ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Bibles get put down. But the question comes, why does God choose to speak that way? I mean, he could do anything he likes. He's God. He's free. Why does he choose to use Scripture as his primary way of speaking to us, rather than speaking words directly into our hearts? Because he could do that. And the very important thing for us to understand is the Holy Spirit equipped apostles, not prophets, which doesn't sound like it answers it, but let me show you why it does. It's an easy point to miss. When Jesus promised to send his awesomely powerful Holy Spirit onto the apostles as he leaves, do you remember what we saw in Acts 1:8? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, not prophets, but witnesses. In other words, the primary thing the Holy Spirit comes on the fresh church, the young apostles, to do is not to lead them into new truths, which is what the prophets did in the Old Testament, but to enable them to be reliable witnesses to the central truth of Jesus Christ. That's why when choosing Judas's replacement as an apostle in Acts 1, the key thing that's stressed is he's got to be an eyewitness of all the things from the baptism of John, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right through to the resurrection. Because he's got to be a reliable eyewitness. So if somebody says to you, I'm off to see this Christian speaker, he's an apostle, The first question to ask is, how old is it? Now, the truth is, apostle actually is just the same word for sent. And so let's not be too tight about things. In some cultures, it just means a pioneering Christian leader. But actually, the way the Bible talks about it is these apostles, their key role is to be witnesses. The focus of the Spirit's ministry through them is not revealing new truths from God like the prophets of old, but bearing witness to and explaining about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That is the focus of God's Spirit. So Hebrews 1:1-3 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he has made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. All of God's revelation, all of God's speech, builds to this climax of the arrival of Jesus Christ. And once Jesus has come, the most important thing for us to know is who he is and what he has done. And this gets us, I think, to the issue behind the issue. When we talk about the Holy Spirit speaking, most of us are thinking about individual guidance. We're thinking about what job I take. Should I pursue this relationship? Should I buy this place? We assume, by and large, as we do so, that the most important thing in the Christian life is getting it right, quote unquote, with the decisions we've got to make, with the wisdom calls, where it's not, you know, a matter of should I steal? Obviously don't. It's the kind of wisdom calls where there's no right or wrong, and I just want to get it right so that my life goes well. We assume that's the most important thing. It's not, actually. The most important thing is whether I trust in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation and whether I obey what he has clearly said rather than work out how to be wise in any other parts of life. You see, how can I be saved and who is in charge are much, much more important things to get clear on than what is going to happen next. That's why God gave us a Bible. He gave us witnesses, the apostles, and the Holy Spirit enabled them to record accurately the truth about Jesus so that you and I would have certainty about the most important thing, which is, how can I be saved? And who is in charge of my life? It's actually much less important that I work out what's going to happen next. But the Holy Spirit doesn't only speak to us about how to be saved. He does also speak into the daily circumstances of life. So the Holy Spirit equipped apostles, not prophets, because the most important thing for us to know is Jesus Christ and his salvation. But thirdly, the Holy Spirit says all we need in the Bible. So 2 Timothy 3, let's just look back at these verses. See, it begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ. From infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing we need. And so God's given us clarity, certainty, a concrete word that when you're not sure about, you've got physical writing on a physical page to lay your hand on, to read. But then it goes on. All scripture is God-breathed. And if you're wondering where the Holy Spirit is, that's where he is in this verse. Same word, as we said, breathed, spirited. So all scripture is breathed out by the Spirit, if you like, or God-spirited. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in God, training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Holy Spirit enables us to live for God in all the difficulties of life by giving us the scriptures, which don't mention the television, internet, credit card, or smartphone usage. You know, none of the kind of issues that we face. But actually, through the pages of Scripture, we are given all that we need to be wise enough to take decisions about the things the Bible doesn't speak about. See, the way the Bible works is not like a sort of a series of of casuistry, of particular applications like the Old Testament law that, you know, can I plant crops of two different seeds? No, you can't. You know, it's pretty specific in the Old Testament, and we're told that it's God's treating us like children there. But as we grow up with the coming of Jesus Christ, God treats us like adults now, and he gives us wisdom. The Holy Spirit teaches us the kind of things that God likes, the kind of things God doesn't like. Teaches us how the world works, what life is like. So that as we go out into the world with our understanding shaped by Scripture, we're able to make good decisions and live in the complexities of life. He deliberately doesn't tell us everything for every day, because we don't need to. See, what we want, actually, is spiritual sat-nav. You know, God literally telling us as we, you know, drove here, it's take this right and then that left. You know, that would be great. It would take all the fuss out of life. Jonathan Edwards tells, not the triple jumper, the American theologian, in the 18th century New England revivals. Wow, I coughed this way. There we go. It's a gift. He speaks about a woman who becomes convinced that she needs to live her life by the Holy Spirit. And so she tries to listen for his guidance in everything. And she would only do things the Holy Spirit specifically she felt was telling her to do. And so there were days she would go out walking in the street. That wasn't me. Would it be distracting if I start talking about poltergeists and exorcising the room? We won't go there. And so she would literally go out with one sock on, her petticoat, and a glove, because she hadn't heard the Spirit directly tell her to put on the rest of her clothes. Which is odd. But it is only an exaggerated version of what most of us deep down would like, which is, God, just tell me what to do, like with everything. And we resort to all sorts of desperate measures to work out, look, if I see three red cars, I'll take it that you want me to do this, or if they phone before 11, I will take the job because I'll take that from you. But that's not the way God works. There's a very good book actually by Kevin DeYoung called Just Do Something. And he points out that actually often the motivation is we think that if God would just tell me by the Holy Spirit what to do, then life will go well, by which we mean it'd be comfortable and easy. Nothing will go wrong. Like my marriage won't break up if God has told me who to marry. You know, we just assume that this job, I won't have a horrible boss and I won't get sacked within 3 years and I'll be able to pay the mortgage if God tells me which job to take. Because we assume that God's main aim is to make us comfortable and easy in this life rather than God's main aim is to make us holy and ready for the next life. And God's way is not to tell us what to do in every little detail of life. You see, you don't need Holy Spirit sat-nav. What you need is trust in the providence of God. The providence of God is the teaching within the Scriptures. You see it gloriously in, I think most clearly, in the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Genesis 37 to 50 is one long explanation that God is in control of the twitching of every atom in the universe. And every atom that vibrates, vibrates to carry out the promises of God, to fulfill the will of God. And so we just obey God, what he's clearly said, trusting that he's at work managing the details, and we don't need to worry about that. And actually, that's the way life is. You don't need spiritual sat-nav, God telling you, take this train, take that job, make friends with this person. You know, you don't need him to do that, because he's providentially, sovereignly in control of everything. There was a girl at a previous church I was at called Caroline, and she was involved with the Options Crisis Pregnancy Centre, and there was a call for baby kit for it, and she was working at a school on the Northcote Road in Clapham, full of very, very wealthy yummy mummies. And so when she did a collection for this option centre, it was a pretty gleaming collection, I can tell you. So I don't think anything was more than 6 months old. You know, there were perfect brand new Phil and Ted buggies, because, well, they don't match my coat for this season. And so they went, and so she had this, I mean, it was when she filled her car with the stuff, it was worth about three times the value of her car. And she drove it over to Wimbledon to deliver it to the centre into staff. And as she started to take stuff out, the girl was somewhere between crying and laughing. She's like, what's going on? She said, this morning I had a lady in, and she was saying, I just can't keep the baby, but I want to. But I just can't. And she said, what do you mean? She said, I can't afford this baby. I just can't afford it. I know I should keep this baby, but I just can't afford it. And she said, well, what do you mean when you say you can't afford it? She says, well, I can't get around. My mum's got a car, but I could never take, she can't, you know, we don't have a baby seat. And I don't have a pram. How can I have a baby without a baby seat and a pram? The first two items she pulled out were a matching, brand new Phil and Ted's car seat and pram. Now, let me tell you how that didn't work. Caroline didn't get a voice from God saying, ask for a matching Phil and Ted's baby seat and pram and take those out of your car first. She just did what God said, which is love your neighbour. And so she did the collection and she took it on her day off, which was the only day she could. She didn't get a voice telling her there's going to be somebody coming to auctions this morning who needs this stuff. Delay your journey until she's just arrived. She just served God. And the exciting thing is, when you serve a God who's sovereignly, providentially in charge of everything, you find his Holy Spirit is at work in the details. And how exciting to know that life isn't just random, but God is sovereignly at work. And so we don't need to hear him tell us spiritual sat-nav. Instead, we need to trust that he is at work in everything. Okay, at this point there's a screeching of the brakes as somebody said, yeah, all very nice, but are you saying at this point God cannot speak outside the Bible? No, he's God. He gets to do what he likes. I don't get to tell him what he can do. But there is a difference between what God can do and what God can be expected to do. So God can be expected to do all the things he's promised he will do. God can do whatever he likes, but you bank on what he's promised. So people have survived falling out of aeroplanes without parachutes at 10,000 feet. True. That doesn't mean it's a good idea to try. You can't expect to survive, although people can. God can speak any way he likes, but God can be expected always to speak by his Spirit through the Bible, as we turn to that. You know, when I go away, my wife Jules promises to text me. I could stare at the sky this afternoon to see whether she has hired a plane to do some skywriting, to say some beautiful romantic or, knowing her, mildly offensive and slightly rude message in the sky for me. But it would be a pretty odd thing to do if I did that and never checked my phone, which she's promised she would text me. Actually, if I stare at the sky for long enough, it's amazing what you can see in the clouds. But I'm not saying God definitely won't ever speak to you by an angel or a word from the sky. He might, but he doesn't need to. His Spirit says everything we need for life to the full in his word, the Bible. And it's a tragic shame when for so many Christians, the Bible is neglected where the Holy Spirit can be heard speaking clear words every day because we're too busy keeping dream journals and trying to work out whether the thoughts in our head are, is it my conscience or is it the Holy Spirit or did I just eat too much cheese last night? And I have no idea. But the second sort of screeching of the brakes comes when somebody says, look, don't tell me he can't because he has. Look, I or friends of mine, there'll be people here thinking, do have this experience of God speaking to us regularly by his Spirit outside of the Bible. So you can't say it doesn't happen when it happens all the time. Now, part of the issue here is terminology. So God said to me, I've been thinking and praying, and I just wonder whether God is nudging me in this direction. Exactly the same experience, just two people from two different churches say it in two different ways. And I think the second is a safer way to speak. I've been thinking and praying, and I just can't get this out of my head, and I wonder whether this is the right thing to do. Because as soon as I say God said to me, then, well, I'd better do it, and no one can question it, because you're questioning God at that point. Christopher Ashe has this wonderful illustration of passive smoking. He says, you know, there's two ways to smoke. One is, you know, actively you light up and you inhale deliberately yourself. The other is to be in a room where other people have been smoking. And the smoke goes into you even though you're not actively smoking. And he says it's like that with the Bible. Lots of times when the people say, the Holy Spirit has said to me, it's kind of passive smoking, really. It's just they soaked up the Bible and it just kind of it's actually just the Bible coming back out. It's in the atmosphere around us. It's so soaked into us that even when we're not directly reading it, the Bible is coming out of us. And that's just perfectly normal. The Holy Spirit is bringing the word to our memory. The Holy Spirit is enabling us to remember it and live by it. But let me ask you, when you do have these experiences of, I think God is saying this to me, the question is, are you sure? You know, how do you know it's the Spirit speaking? Because if it's God, you've got to do it. When I turn to this book, I know, rightly understood, I'm hearing God. But how do I know whether a dream is just a dream or a message from God? How do I know? And one of the things I guess I would gently ask is, are all your words positive? I spent a number of years at churches where I was encouraged to look for God speaking outside the Bible, and the words were always positive. Always about how God was going to give me a job or a wife or heal me from sickness. It was always positive things. And so, to put it bluntly, I ought to be very suspicious if the words that I claim to be hearing from God are rather different from the words I find in here, or are very similar to the words I'd like to hear from God. I remember a youth leader, this is true, a youth leader telling me that there was a particularly stunning girl in the youth group, and he told me that over half of the boys had approached her at various points in that year to say that God had told them that they should be dating. Extraordinary. You know, it would be a whole lot easier to take seriously some of the, you know, the times where people say, God is saying this to me, if what God was saying was, God is saying to me that he is really, really not impressed with the way I'm sinning and that I need to stop mocking him. What should I do? Someone says that, you think, okay. Or if, I think God is saying to me that I need to give away my money and go and be a missionary in Saudi Arabia and that I may not survive very long. You know, when God's saying things that I don't want to hear and that I'm unlikely to come up with myself, it's much easier to believe it really is him. But we do not honour the Holy Spirit when we put our words into his mouth. When I dress up my desires as God's sovereign will. And actually, even when you turn to the New Testament and the Bible, God speaking outside of Scripture is not a normal everyday occurrence. The Holy Spirit speaks directly to commission Paul and Barnabas to take the gospel to the Gentile world, to break out of Jewish territory. Acts 13:2. The Holy Spirit speaks directly to Paul to say, it is time to cross over from Asia into Europe and take the gospel into brand new territory. Acts 16:9 to 10. The Holy Spirit warns Paul he will face great persecution and suffering wherever he goes. Acts 20. And through Agabus, the Holy Spirit predicts there's going to be a terrible famine and that Paul is going to be chained when he goes back to Jerusalem. Acts 12:28 and 21:10. But that's it. And those are pretty massive moments. The rest of the time, they've been told by Jesus, you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So they get on with it. They just get on with it. And actually, the entire direction of Scripture is less turn in and listen, and it's more speak God's truth. So the refrain of Psalm 42 to 43 is, stop listening to yourself and start speaking God's truth to yourself. And I worry that contemporary spirituality, Christian maturity, is too often these days couched in terms of me turning in and listening to myself. Whereas the whole direction of the Bible is, no, I need to turn out from myself and listen to God. Okay, so how does that fit with expect more? Sounds like you're saying expect less. Actually, no, I really do mean expect more. You see, I think there's a danger that we think life is basically secular, ordinary, irrelevant to God. I get up, I get dressed, I have breakfast, I go to work, I come home from work. We only see God's involvement if there's some intervention from outside. If God speaks to me directly about something, you know, speak to this person or do this thing. But actually, I want to encourage you to be much, much, much more expectant of God. In the daily little details of life, when God has said nothing, stop thinking God is not involved. When God is, quote, silent, that doesn't mean God is, quote, absent. Expect God to be involved in the details of your life, even when you don't hear anything. the person you sit next to on the train, the opportunities and challenges that come to you in the week, the difficulties and sufferings of life, the sport you play, the holidays you take, the sicknesses you suffer, all of it, God is sovereignly involved. And in all of it, he is at work for your good and his glory. Life is not a secular, unimportant thing punctuated by moments of God's intervention. God is involved in all of it. And he's given you this book so you know how to live. So you can hear his spirit and be shaped by his spirit and live with your head up, excited by what God is involved in and what God is going to throw into your plate. And secondly, expect a lot more from this book. The Holy Spirit speaks these words. And the truth is, there is not a single person in this room who realizes how real, deep, and rich the Bible is. None of us have grasped that fully. Actually, I've made a dangerous mistake myself speaking. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit speaking directly as if the Bible is him speaking indirectly. This is not. This is his direct speech to you and to me. So expect more. As you come to church, whether for midweek Bible studies or on Sundays to hear sermons, or as you sit on your own and read the Bible, expect more. Expect that you're about to have an encounter of power with the God who speaks. Every time you open this word, expect sin to be exposed. Expect faith to be rekindled. Expect radical change in your heart and your life. And so pray about it. Pray with expectation as you turn to God's word. We looked actually at the start of the new year, if you were there for Commission Sunday, at Psalm 19. Let me remind you of some verses in that psalm. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them righteous, more precious than gold, than much pure gold, and sweeter than honey from the comb. Why on earth would you feel like that about words on a page? Because they are also the voice of the living God, the Holy Spirit, speaking hope and truth and life to each and every one of us. Our Father God, we thank you that you are a speaking God. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is not silent. And we thank you that you have spoken in ways which are certain and studyable, so that we might have a sure foundation on which to stand. Thank you that your word shows us how to trust in Jesus, that we might be saved forever. Thank you that your word helps us to understand and make sense of life. And thank you that your word teaches us that you are involved by your Holy Spirit in every detail of our lives. And so we pray that we would not be disappointed that you haven't spoken in ways we want, but that we will be thrilled that you have spoken certain words to us, and that every time we open your Bible, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying all that we need to live all of our lives for your glory. Amen.
Amen.